Cedric Muhammad.
He tripped up the translator. This is going on all at the beginning of the speech. This is rough.
The preamble says that the nations are equal, whether they are small or big. Are we equal in the permanent seats? No, we are not equals. And the preamble says that all nations are equal, whether they are small nations or whether they are big nations, as far as the rights. Do we have the rights of the veto? Are we equals? The preamble says that we are equals in our rights, whether we are big or small. This is what is stated in the nations, and this is what we have agreed in the preamble. So the veto is against the charter. The permanent seats are against the charter. We do not accept it and we do not acknowledge it.
Now he's teaching the history of the UN, and the point he was making about Germany is the reparations around Germany, the way that America and the European powers wanted Germany really to be held down or built up in a very controlled manner, had a bearing on how the UN was set up. He's teaching history that most people don't know. He's a little eccentric. He has his own style. But when has that ever distracted you?
Neither do we recognize it. The charter states that we, in the preamble, that we are, that we shall not resort to the military force unless it is a common
we
wanted the charter to be like that. It says that the armed forces only use it when it is a common interest to all nations. But after that, what happened? 65 wars broke out after the establishment of the United Nations and after the establishment of the Security Council and after this establishment. 65, and the victims are millions more than the victims of the Second World War. Are these wars and the aggressions and the force that was used, the power in the 65 wars, in the interest of the common interest of all of us? No, it was in the interest of one country or three countries or four countries or one country. But it was not in the interest of all the nations. And we shall come and discuss about the wars, whether these wars broke out was in the interest of one country or were in the whole nations. This is in full contradictions and full intervention of the United Nations charters, and we signed that. And unless we do things in the charter of the United Nations according which we agreed, otherwise we don't speak diplomatically, we are not afraid, we are not coveting, and we were not being nice to anybody. Now we are talking about the future of the... There is no hypocrisy, no diplomacy, because it is a decisive and important vital matter.
He can flow.
For understanding and hypocrisy created to 65 wars after the establishment of the United Nations. The preamble states also that if there is a use of force, then it must be the United Nations force, so the United Nations military interventions, according to the joint ventures of the United Nations, not country or one, two country or three country using the force or the military power. The United Nations, all of it, will decide to go to war to maintain peace and world security. And if there is any aggression by one country against another after the 45, after the establishment of this United Nations, if there is any aggression against any country, the United Nations all together should deter and stop this aggression and should check this aggression. I mean, if a country, any country, Libya for instance, makes an attack against France or aggression against France, then the whole United Nations should check the Libyan aggression against France, because France is a member state, independent state in the United General Assembly, that is a sovereign country, a member state of the United Nations, and all of us, that we have to protect the sovereignty of all nations collectively. But 65 wars, aggressive war, took place without the actions from the United Nations to stop and check these wars. And eight fierce, big wars and victims of these wars amount to millions, made or initiated by the countries who have member states and veto, those countries who believe that they would maintain the sovereignty and independence of the peoples. These countries actually use aggressive force against the peoples. We believe that these countries will make peace and security in the world and protect the peoples. These countries actually resorted to aggressive wars and hostile wars, and as a matter of fact, they enjoyed the veto that was given to them by themselves and enjoyed the member states of the Security Council, but in the meantime, they actually initiated the war, which amounted to millions of victims.
He's saying that the UN Permanent Security Council members are actually behind the wars, the 65 wars that started after the UN was born. You look at the border disputes, backs up what he's saying. So he's saying they start the war, then they come in and try to make peace, and they use their veto power to keep them from being investigated or punished. Look at the picture I have up. Those are the notes.
So in this charter, there is nothing that the United Nations will interfere in which will be the pure business of the internal affairs. I mean the government. It is the internal affairs of a certain government. No country has the right to interfere in this affair. In the sort of government, whether it is a dictatorial, socialist, capitalist system, or whether it is a reactionary, progressive, this is the responsibility of the society. It is an internal matter of the people concerned of a certain country. Rome, one day the senators of Rome, they gave him the mandate to be a dictator, because at the time it was good for Rome. No one can say to Rome at the time that you gave Caesar this veto. The veto is not mentioned in the charter. If they... We joined the United Nations because we thought we are equals, and then there is one country that can object to all the decisions that we make.
I mean, isn't this fundamentally basic what Muammar Gaddafi is saying? If the United Nations is a group of equals, why is there a permanent security council where five countries have privilege and can veto the voice, prevent the voice of another nation from rising if all sovereign nations are equal?
And it has a member state. Who has given this country this member state? These four countries, they have given themselves member states. The only country that we have voted in this General Assembly is China. China, we have voted to give China a member state in the Security Council. This is was done democratically, but the other member seats was not democratic, was imposed upon us. We should not be accepted by us, and it was a dictatorial procedure that was done against our will. United reform is not the increasing of the member states. It is just to make things worse. I don't know how this will be translated, but if we add more water, it will be more muddy. This is a typical expression. To insult to injury. I mean to make things worse and to make things even worse by how? Because because many big countries will be added further to the former big countries that we already have, and like this we'll have it will be outweighed, so we'll have more superpowers. Then from here we reject having any more seats done in this way.
Now that was interesting to me. Brother Gaddafi is rejecting the notion of increasing seats on the Permanent Security Council in terms of nations. Now, the African Union and Nigeria, well, there was a call to put an African nation or to give the African Union permanent status on the Security Council. He's going to touch on that a little later. But there was the idea that Africa needed to have a nation represented on the Security Council. Well, President Brother Muammar Gaddafi doesn't want this to get out of hand with people being able to put big nations on the Security Council on the basis of size. So he's going to elaborate now, I believe, on an alternative plan for better, more equal and fair representation at the United Nations.
The solution is not in having more seats, and the most dangerous one, if we have more superpowers to the already superpowers that we already have. This will crush down the peoples of all small peoples, the third world countries, which now are coming together in what may be called the G100. There are 100 small countries coming together in a forum that is called a member called FOS, Forum of Small States.
Forum of Small States, 100 states, G100.
These the translator didn't want to repeat it, but Brother Gaddafi said G100, 100 states. Okay, he wants a G100.
Countries will be these countries will be crushed by super countries, because further superpowers, further big countries will be added to already super countries. This door should be closed, and we reject that strongly and categorically. Then they open the door to have more seats in the Security Council. This will add more poverty, more injustice, more intention at the world level, and more competition at the level of the Security Council. And then we shall have, there will be high competition between certain countries, between Italy, Germany,
Indonesia,
India, Pakistan, Philippines, the Philippines, Japan,
Brazil,
Nigeria, Argentina, Brazil, Nigeria, and Algeria, Libya, Egypt, Congo, South Africa,
Tanzania,
Turkey, Iran, Greece, Ukraine. All these countries will ask to have a seat in the Security Council, and like this we shall have a race of competitions, then it will be impractical. So what is the solution? The solution is that for the solution presided by the for the General Assembly by Dr. Itriki, which will be abiding the resolutions taken by the General Assembly, which will not take considerations any other quarter. The solution is that we shall close the admission of the member states, and we don't have any more member states. This is an item that is provided for the General Assembly, the presided by Dr. Fekir right now.
All right, let me read some of your comments. That's a part of the speech, Brother Muammar Gaddafi. Now, has the UN General Assembly meeting just turned into like a rhetoric fest where, you know, it's a very progressive revolutionary platform that's given, and the fact that it's in the United States even makes it more strategic if you wanted to use it for that purpose. But man, just some operational unity would go a far way between all of the leaders who have made these strong statements, whether it's Ahmadinejad, Chavez, who else gave a strong speech? I'm trying to remember. But in any event, they are showing closer relationships. Chavez attended the 40th year anniversary of Muammar Gaddafi being in power in Libya. But again, he is the African Union chairman, a not inconsequential position. Let me read your comments. Send them in if you want me to get at them before the hour's up. We're going to talk about Brick City next hour. Brick City, if you've seen it on the Sundance channel, let me know if you're from Newark. I have spoken to folk from Newark, and it's a mixed reaction. If you like it, let me know. If you think it's The Wire Part 2 in the offing, indicate that. They're positioning the show as having a dual focus on the quality of life and et cetera in Newark, and also being about the whole issue of urban renewal. I don't know. Rod Ginyard's on fire. He says that Gaddafi is still hurting and angry with Reagan bombing and killing his son back in the day. Understandable. I don't know if it was the son. I was trying to make a point. It slipped my mind. But Rod says he has to give Brother Momar his credit for his sense of style. He knows how to carry those Coptons, oftentimes with the matching Scullies. Oh, nobody can dress like Brother Gaddafi. We know this. Especially, I love the suit that he has with Africa on the lapel. But Rod is saying that Gaddafi did have a lot to say, but if it were Brother President Obama delivering Gaddafi's content, I dare say it would only take about 20 minutes. Words need to be succinct and dagger-like. I agree. And his objection to Twitter relates to the amount of time that people spend caring about it and waiting to hear from anybody who is not the Mahdi. And he got the significance of the October 7th release date of my book correct. Eleazar says that, Cedric, I really don't want to sound like a conspiracy theory, but President Obama's UN speech sounds like a New World Order speech. Correct me if I'm wrong. How could I correct you? You could elaborate, actually. Eleazar says President Obama's UN speech sounds like a New World Order speech. Oh, Rod has sent another positive message, which I appreciate. Glenn from Philly, he's filling the books. The way that the book is divided is in three volumes. Volume one is on the political economy. That deals with political and economic factors and some cultural issues that affect entrepreneurship. Volume two is business principles. Business principles, that's all it deals with. Volume three, the personal struggle, what you have to go through, the pain, and how entrepreneurship affects relationships. I have a chapter on that. So I was saying at George Mason University, I decided that the time is right to write a book on entrepreneurship, not on political, not on policy. Well, this is the era of the hip-hoppreneur. You got to do more than just vote. First, you got to understand why you're voting. I have a chapter. Hold on. I'm not propping this very well. Hold on. Volume 1. I have a chapter in here. Hold on. The Entrepreneurial Secret by Cedric Muhammad. Hold on. Chapter 5, The Secret of Policy, Developing Your Self-Enlightened Interest. Anyone who vote, anyone who has a business or trying to start a business and you don't vote on the basis of economic issues, you are out of your mind. You do not know who you are. How in the world could you just vote straight one party? Irregardless of how... Is that a word, irregardless? Irrespective of issues that affect your bottom line. That makes no sense. But you don't want to be considered a Republican. I understand. I know how it is. If you vote for anything other than civil rights and whatever CNN and MSNBC like nowadays, you are a traitor. I have a chapter just for you. Chapter 5. Go tell somebody The Hottest Show in the Diaspora will be back. We'll talk about Brick City, this whole concept of urban renewal. Do you like Brick City? Do you not like it? I've seen two parts. It's a five-part series, I believe. You're going to hear, well, just come back, you know. What hourly intro should I hit? This is my point about Brother Gaddafi. Does he have to die in order to get his propers, as we used to say? I mean, what is it with us? There's something very appropriate about giving people flowers after they're gone. But I just wonder. It does not make sense. It doesn't add up. What is the problem with Muammar Gaddafi that you don't have with Chavez and Castro? All you Africa lovers, Castro's not in Africa. He's been very supportive of causes in Africa, but not more than Muammar Gaddafi. Nelson Mandela, I believe, named a child after Muammar Gaddafi. What is the problem? Oliver Stone, why don't you go do a movie on Libya after you do the movie on Chavez? That's why I can't get caught up in this progressive stuff sometimes. It's just a cult of personality, celebrity, cause celebre. I do love Oliver Stone, by the way. JFK, one of my favorite movies. I heard Muammar Gaddafi mention JFK today. Is it that you are nobody till somebody kills you? I mean, are we that sick that we, or that dead, that we can only appreciate or give somebody their credit? Not even appreciate. This is my problem with Jay-Z, by the way. I was in New York over the weekend. Mr. C, he says it's over now. Hov is the greatest. He says Jay-Z is the greatest. Now, I don't agree necessarily, but come on, y'all. Are you really keeping Jay-Z at like number 15 still on your list of the greatest MCs? Some of you all are haters. Not objective haters. You're self-haters. How can Jigga not be top 10 on everybody's list? You're going to hit me with your funny style criteria, I know. Didn't perform at enough venues where only 200 tickets were sold. I hear you. I think Biggie said it best. You have to die to get credit. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
No. I'm only doing to you what they're going to do to me. Only they use potassium chloride and they won't let very many people watch. But not for long. You see, soon executions will be delivered live to our TVs, our computers, our phones, our handhelds, and it won't cost much. Maybe $10. Millions of eyes all watching the same thing at the same time. One big happy family. And all of it brought to you by it doesn't matter. They'll have no trouble finding sponsors.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad on the Black Coffee Channel.
I was really interested in the piece because I thought that if we could do it right, it would represent a lot of the cities across the country that needed urban renewal and that were like struggling. I was working with Mark Levin on another project actually, and he had shot some footage in Newark and started to talk about the possibility of creating this series. There's these unique individuals that are starting to stand up across the country. Corey is one of those premier individuals, because he's doing everything possible to get people to be galvanized to believe in their environment and want to make a change. And you have a police chief who's like changing the murder rate 40%, cleaning up crime, and you watch the street doctor make a difference. And I saw that from him, and I was excited about dealing with the Crips and the Bloods, this couple, you know, one Crip, one Blood coming together, you know, which is so unusual. And I was very familiar with the gang environment, particularly out of Los Angeles, because that's where I come from. You see all these individuals who you can walk by on a daily basis and maybe not know who they are, but they have individually decided to make a difference and a change, and it's working. And that means that you and I can do the same thing. And it's that thing that this series, I think, captures.
I'm Mark Benjamin. I'm the executive producer and director of Brick City with my partner, Mark Levin.
I'm Mark Levin. I am director and executive producer of Brick City with my partner, Mark Benjamin. Brick City itself, the nickname for Newark, you know, comes from bricks are hard. This is a city that's hard, it's tough, it's strong. You know, a lot of the buildings were built with bricks. They used to have a lot of brick factories there. And over we heard people talk about, you know, change is one person at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one block at a time, one soul at a time, one brick at a time.
We heard about a Robert Treat Hotel event where there was going to be a prayer breakfast of people praying for peace and against violence. And and gang members were going to come to this. Mark and I went there, and we brought a camera because we don't really go anywhere without a camera. And so this was the first prayer breakfast where we met Jada. And she spoke and stood next to her boyfriend and talked about the hood and talked about a Blood and a Crip living together and how it was a Romeo and Juliet story and how the differences between the Bloods and the Crips and the fighting and the sets fighting. No one really knew what it was all about. It was counterproductive for the future, and that she wanted to make that clear, that she was a outspoken activist living with the Blood and said this whole gang thing is nonsense. We can live together. We can stop killing each other.
It was just through the normal production process of starting to go events really coming back here. And then looking at it, I mean, we were impressed, you know, but then you come back here, you get a little distance, you got some people that weren't there, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, what a story, Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story, Blood and the Crip, and that was really how it started. How did this Romeo and Juliet story start? Jada and Creep, how did they meet? You know, it didn't fit in to the show. I mean, we tried to fit it in, but it really didn't fit in. It was more of an interview situation and stylistically didn't fit in. But for anybody who becomes interested in these characters, that's a question that always comes up. How did they meet? How did this happen?
When we first met was probably like 10 years ago. I was in a juvenile program and she was in a female program, but what was it, like a job release?
Yeah, independent living.
You know, we wasn't allowed to talk to females, but
I was the count, like junior counselor.
And I started fraternizing.
I had a little crush on him on the low, but I don't think he knew.
I didn't, but I told you 10 years ago, that's mine.
Shut up.
Roll up on me, look at you. I look at you.
When we speak to the kids and we let that be known that, you know, I'm Blood and he's Crip, I see nothing but, like, I see a lot of surprised looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I know it's a lot of ignorant people out here. And I know that there's a lot of people that have a problem with it. I know it is. You know what I mean? And that's just what it, but for them to try to do something to us, if they got the balls, you know, throw them.
For more. All right, September 23rd, 2009, How to Show in the Diaspora, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee program. I'm doing my No Shark Tank this week. I love Shark Tank. They're moving Shark Tank to Tuesday nights on ABC, and I will be tweeting live during Shark Tank, letting you know my 2 cents on the entrepreneurs and the investor feedback as it occurs next Tuesday night, September 29th. Follow me on Twitter. Oh, there's some confusion about my birthday, which I'm responsible for. No, it was not my birthday on September 22nd. I'll clear that up before the show's out. All right, let me get to Brick City. Let me tell you how I feel. If you're from Newark or you've been watching this, I especially want to hear from you. I just played a clip. I have another clip Mark Levin and the other gentleman named Benjamin. These are the producers behind this. Now let me tell you why I like Brick City, and then I'll tell you why I don't like Brick City. I've only seen two parts. Okay. What I absolutely love, I got some R&B on right now talking about Brick City. That don't work.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.